The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Where were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise up, go your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Open our hearts, O Lord, to see that our thanksgiving to you covers our actions, our desires, and all that we do in your name. Amen. Deuteronomy is a fascinating book, mostly because it was lost. And when something is lost, and centuries later, you stumble upon it, which is what happened in ancient Israel, the book was read, and a lot of it echoed what previous books had. The Exodus, the wilderness, and especially the law. A lot of other books long ago had those same things. So then, why Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy, we think, was written for reform, to wake God's people up. It was discovered during the worst chapter of the northern and southern kings who were far from God, who were corrupt, who broke laws, even to the point of sacrificing children. They not only broke laws, but they picked up laws from other faiths, groups, tribal groups. So Deuteronomy engendered this incredible renewal of the people. And today we see how Deuteronomy did that. Deuteronomy says, you know what, you have it all. Very few, if any, Hebrew scripture passages are this blunt. You have it all. Everything. You have the money. You have the food. You have the gold. You have the silver. You have the families. And you also have flocks. Tons of flocks. You're never in need. Your flocks keep multiplying. Just like your money and your gold keep multiplying. And your silver. You also have houses, big houses, and you live in them. You have everything you could ask for, except one. You've built this on a weak and shoddy foundation. And what Deuteronomy suggests, what Deuteronomy pleads for, is for the people to go back to their roots, They forgot who they were. And those roots are not nearly as cushy, as plush, as what they're now used to. Once we get used to cushy and plush, it's hard to understand others who aren't living the high life, or even the stable life. So in Deuteronomy, they get a mini lecture. Go back to your roots. You are a slave. You will always be a slave. You were born into slavery. Slavery is in you. You don't turn a corner and get rid of slavery. It is part of the fabric of your holy story. Go back to slavery. Stroll around in slavery. Bring slavery and the wilderness and the poisonous snakes. Bring all of it back into your heart. It seems as though there's something key about this understanding. Yes, bring back even the manna and remember how clueless you were long ago. Because when the manna showed up on the ground, you said, "What's this? Where'd this come from?" You had no idea. God had the idea. The manna from heaven nurtured them in this wilderness time. Thanksgiving is a good time to go back into our roots, into our family's roots, our nation's roots, and into the roots of our faith, which are right here, where many people have houses that are very large and feast that they cannot finish and gold that they mount and increase and silver. We need to go back to our roots. And there is another particular root that we need to get back to. And that is the root that the gospel writer Luke shares. With 10 lepers, utter outcasts, they don't have the homes, they don't have the houses, they don't have the flocks, they don't have the gold, they don't have the silver. In fact, they are barred from all society. That in itself is bad enough, that they cannot approach people, that they have to safely distance for much more than 6 feet, that they cannot live with their families or even see their children. Those lepers were abandoned by everyone. These lepers, uniquely, are a hybrid group because they're right on the border between Galilee and Samaria. Samaria was the hyper-heretic center. Samaritans had a different scriptures. Samaritans were enemies of the Israelites. They had their own worship. They could not make themselves dirty by going to the temple in Jerusalem. They had their own sacrifices. To this day, they have their own sacrifices. Yes, Samaritans still exist. In this story, it is a hybrid area where Samaritans and Jews are going to mix. They simply are. Jesus crossed over it intentionally once to rattle his disciples and to have water poured by a Samaritan woman. for him. Luke knows all of this, and so Luke's story is especially powerful. This group of 10 shout, "Help! Help! Help! Jesus, we need your help." Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, you poor things." Most likely, the lepers expected Jesus to be very forthcoming with the healing. I mean, that's what his reputation said. But no, Jesus says, "Go on, go see the priests. Just go, get out of here, go see." Well, they can't go see priests. That was an absurd suggestion. The priests aren't going to want to see you because you are actively skin contagious. And yet, they turned and they walked. They walked toward the priests. They didn't get to the priests. They were healed. En route, they were healed. They were shocked. They were joyful. 9 of them, maybe, did go to the priest to confirm that they were healed, because only a priest could look at a leper and determine if the skin was clean. But one came back in great joy. The Samaritan returned, only one, and he, Jesus says to him, "He is truly healed." That physical healing was nice, but there is something deeper, and you now have it. You have been truly healed. This power that came into you and healed you is much deeper. It is the power of giving thanks. You came back to say thank you. It is your thank you that truly heals you. And so today, a day known for large meals, now much smaller, a day when families remain distant and remain somewhat separated after a long period of trial and separation, when lives have been disrupted. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us be like the Samaritan. And let's celebrate by returning to the source. Returning to the one who declared us whole, beloved, precious, to the one at the heart of all Thanksgiving. The Greek word Evcharisto means I thank you, thanks a bunch, see you around later. Thanks, Evcharisto. You walk around Greece and you hear Evcharisto, Evcharisto. It takes a little bit of a jolt to realize they're really saying Eucharist, Eucharist, Eucharist to you. Eucharisto, Eucharist, thank you. Thank you, and again, thank you, more times than they say any other word in Greece. They say Eucharist, thank you. And as for us, in our celebration of the Eucharist, we also return, we must return to the sacred center. We must return to that place where we find our truest healing. And then, and only then, can we move out and share that healing, that joy, that good news with others. And so today we return again to a great Thanksgiving. It is still manna that we break. It is still manna that we eat. It is still manna that feeds disrupted lives, that feeds us and gives us power to feed and heal others in the name of Jesus. Amen.